Okay, good evening, everyone. We're in we're learning Perek Chaf Beis of Sefer Yehoshua. Approaching the end here, another few weeks, we'll make a siyum. Okay, so last week we did the first half of the Perek, and this week we'll do the latter half of the Perek. And if you remember the first half of the Perek, it was this very interesting story where the beginning of the Perek began where Yehoshua basically sends off Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe and sends them back and says, you know, you guys have been great and you've been helping out a lot and you've been fighting with us. Now it's time for you to go back to Eber HaYarden, to the other side of the Yarden River where they're settling. And it says that they go back. And then we have this very strange event where they build a Mizbeach. Right? Pasuk Yud tells us that that they came, they reached the other side of the Yarden. Vayivnu b'nei Reuven v'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet HaMenashe shom Mizbeach al HaYarden, Mizbeach gadol l'mar'eh. They built this big Mizbeach. We mentioned last time Mizbeach gadol l'mar'eh, that it implies that perhaps it's only for... Maybe that implies it was not for Karbanos. It is for Karbanos. We're not really sure exactly what it was, but it was a big Mizbeach. And B'nai Yisrael hear about this Mizbeach, and they're very upset, and they feel that this is not right on the part of Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe, because it seems like they're almost breaking away. They're creating like the, you know, it's like a breakaway shul. You know, they're creating like their own Mizbeach and their own place to worship. And we discussed last week that the Mefarshim are, you know, explain that B'nai Yisrael had a twofold concern. Concern number one was that maybe these Shvatim were straying and maybe they're building a Mizbeach for Avodah Zarah. That's number one. And number two, even if they're not building it for Avodah Zarah, and even if you tell me they are building it for Hashem, but they're bringing Karbanos outside of the Mishkan. We know you're not allowed to bring Karbanos outside of the Mishkan. You have to bring Karbanos only in the Mishkan. The Mishkan was in Shiloh at this point. We know it was built. All Bamos were Aser. And B'nai Yisrael, the rest of B'nai Yisrael, are very concerned about this. And and the Pesukim described that they essentially got an army together. And we said they they didn't even talk to Yehoshua. They didn't consult with Yehoshua. They were so angry that they just got an army together. And they sent a delegation before they sent the army to go wipe them out. They sent a delegation of 10 Nesiim, one from each Shevet, and Pinchas ben Elazar. They sent them to B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven and to B'nai Menashe to challenge them about this and ask them, you know, what's going on here. And that's where we left off. That's where we left off last time. And essentially, their claim was, listen, you know, what are you guys doing? Are you doing this for Avodah Zarah? Are you doing it for Karbanos? Either way, it's not good. Either way, God is going to punish you, and we're going to get hit also. So it's not just that, you know, mind your own business and stay out of our affairs. This is also our affair. We're part of Klal Yisrael. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hit you, he's going to hit us also. We know we're all going to get hit. Okay.
Why would everybody be hit?
So this is the concept of that once there's like a magefa, you know, once there's some kind of a plague, that we actually discussed it this week a little bit in the Parsha Shir when we discussed Makas Bechoros. It's almost like, you know, if there's a section, if there's a group of people that's being punished with some sort of a plague or some sort of a maka, so then, you know, others that are part of that group can also be affected. And it's like,
this was a totally separate group. It's not like...
Correct.
B'nai Yisrael was in the Midbar, and they were all together.
So correct. And they were in Eber HaYarden, right? True.
They were totally separate.
Right.
And they
true.
Made their own decisions.
True.
No king then.
True, right. But that's the implication is that the B'nai Yisrael were still worried that if Hashem sends some kind of a plague, even though you're right, they're on the other side of the Yarden and they're separate, but it's right over the Yarden. Maybe, you know, we'll be affected also. They're still part of Klal Yisrael, you know. Okay, yeah.
They know these people for years.
Yes.
They fought with them.
Right.
They lived with them.
Right.
How did they make such a quick judgment like that?
That's a good question. We'll see a little bit later that not everyone made such a quick judgment. But you're right, it seems that the masses did make a very quick judgment. And it's a good question, you know, but it seems that people, you know, even if you know people for years, but if you do something and it rubs me the wrong way, you know, people are very quick to judge. Very, very quick to judge. And especially, you know, I think also this was a sensitive time. They were just, literally just like settling the land. and here this two and these 2.5 tribes go off into Eiver HaYarden, there probably was a little bit of tension, you know, between the 2.5 tribes and the remaining, you know, 9.5, in terms of, okay, you know, why are they living over there? They're not living with us, etc., etc. So there probably was a little bit of tension as it was. And then, boom, you know, when this happened, this was just like a slap in the face. You know, and people are quick to judge. People are quick to judge.
Personally, I would think the 9.5 Shvatim would actually be pleased that they went Eiver Yad, because their chelek got to be a lot bigger.
Right.
Grew by at least 20%.
Right. Yeah. True. But still, you know, it's, you know, you still feel like, you know, you want the family together. You know, you want the family together. Okay. So let's see the response of Bnei Gad, of Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. Very interesting response, and we'll see, you know, how this parak ends up. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayadu Bnei Reuven Bnei Gad v'chatzi shevet haMenashe. Vayidabru es roshei alfei Yisrael. So they answer, right? They're charged, you know, they're challenged. And Reuven, Gad, and Menashe answer the claim. But it's interesting. It says the Malbim, if you look, what does it say? Vayidabru es roshei alfei Yisrael. Who do they address their response to? Not to Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron HaKohen. They address their response to the Nesiim. They address their response to the Nesiim. So if you remember from last time, the Malbim explained that the reason why the delegation included both Pinchas ben Elazar as well as the Nesiim is because there was, you know, this twofold complaint against these 2.5 tribes. Number one, that you're doing something against God, right? You're doing something against Hashem. And number two, you're doing something against the Jewish people, against the other 9.5 tribes. So the Nesiim represented the other 9.5 tribes. The 10 Nesiim represented the 9.5 tribes. And Pinchas ben Elazar, he was the Kohen. He was the Kohen who loved peace, right? And he was the one who represented this relationship between them and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malbim says that they figure, listen, first we'll talk about Bnei Yisrael. If we calm them down and we you know, get them to recognize that we're not a threat, right? We're not starting a breakaway Beis HaMikdash. We're not starting a breakaway Mizbeach. We're not going to bring Karbanos, you know, over here on this side. We're not attracting. If you remember last week, we discussed that Bnei Yisrael was afraid, the 9.5 Shvatim were afraid maybe they were going to start to attract people outside of Eretz Yisrael to come settle in Eiver HaYarden with them. If we convince them that this is not what's going on here, that we, you know, we come in peace, we're not trying to splinter Bnei Yisrael, we're not trying to go against what you guys are doing and what you're trying to settle and establish, then people will be at ease. They'll recognize that we're also not doing anything against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we don't have to respond to that first. Let's first respond to Bnei Yisrael, right? And this goes back to, you know, because they were the ones who were judging quickly. Bnei Yisrael were the ones that, you know, they were getting all heated. So, that, you know, they blamed it on, oh, you guys are going against God. If we calm them down and we realize and we get them to recognize that we're not really doing anything against them, we're not really attacking them, we're not attacking the settlement, we're not trying to draw people, we're not trying to create a Beis HaMikdash, they'll calm down. They'll also realize that we're not doing anything against the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not doing anything against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Chaf Beis, Kel Elokim Hashem, Kel Elokim Hashem. Right, so it uses three names of Hashem. Right, Kel Elokim Hashem, Kel Elokim Hashem, and obviously that's repetitive. We have to figure out why are they repeating it? Why are they using three names? Why are they repeating it? Hu Yodea. He knows, capital H, right? God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. The Yisrael Hu Yeda. And the remainder of the Jewish people will come to know. So right now, God knows. The rest of the Jewish people will come to know. Im b'mered v'im b'mal b'Hashem al toshienu hayom hazeh. That if we're doing this from a spirit of rebellion, from a spirit of being traitors against God, against Hashem, Al toshienu hayom hazeh Hashem, don't save us today. Don't save us from what? Don't save us from the 9.5 tribes who are coming with an army to kill us, right? So if you know, we're telling you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows already, but you guys are going to know also that if we're coming in treason, right? If we're being traitors, then we're saying to Hashem, don't save us, right? Then we deserve it. You're right. Meaning, obviously, what are they saying? We're not being traitors, right? That's not what we're doing here. We're not coming from a spirit of rebellion. That's not why we built this Mizbeach. This is their way of explaining it. Rashi says that, you know, because all the Mefarshim essentially deal with the repetition here. Why the three names, Kel Elokim Hashem, and then it's repeated twice, Kel Elokim Hashem, Kel Elokim Hashem. So Rashi doesn't describe why it's three names, but he says the repetition is to symbolize Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Now what's Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? Why are we talking about Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? So presumably what they're trying to explain to the people is that we're united with you, number one, here in Olam Hazeh, right? And this could, Rashi doesn't say this explicitly, but this could touch back on these two concerns that the rest of the Jewish people had. Number one, Olam Hazeh. We're not trying to splinter things from you. We're not trying to go against you, B'nai Yisrael. You guys are settling Eretz Yisrael. This is Olam Hazeh. You're building your world. You're building your country. You are building your land. We're not trying to take that away. We're not trying to create a Beis HaMikdash. We're not trying to take that away from you. And also Olam Haba. We're not going after God, right? We're not straying and going after some other Avodah Zarah. We're following HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're following His path. We're not trying to do anything against you. Olam Hazeh, we're with you, and Olam Haba, we're with you, 100%. Right? That's according to Rashi, that's the repetition. The Olam Hazeh and the Olam Haba. The Al-Sheikh explains that the repetition of these three names represent the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with these three names, Kel, Elokim, Hashem. These are three names of God, that He created the world with these three names, and that He also gave the Torah with these three names, right? That Hashem created the world and He gave the Torah, and essentially they're saying that that they're responding to the challenges of the 9.5 tribes, and they're saying, listen, Kel, Elokim, Hashem, we believe that God created the world. We're not doing this because we're worshiping Avodah Zarah. We believe in Hashem. We believe Hashem created the world. We believe in Him. And not only that, but Kel Elokim Hashem, we also believe that Hashem gave us the Torah. Right? So we're not doing Avodah Zarah. And not only are we not doing Avodah Zarah because we believe in God, we also are following the Torah. And we know that in the Torah Hashem says that you can't bring Shchutei Chutz. You can't bring karbanos outside of the Mishkan, outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That's a pasuk in the Torah that you're not allowed to do that. So number one, we believe in God, He created the world, and we're not following Avodah Zarah. And number two, we believe that Hashem gave us the Torah, and we're following the Torah. And we're not even bringing Shchutei Chutz, we're not bringing karbanos outside of the Beis HaMikdash on this Mizbeach. That's how he understands the three names and the repetition of the three names. And the idea here is that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth, as the pasuk says, right? Hu yodea v'Yisrael hu yedem. That just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth, you know, we're going to convince you that you should also see the truth, that you should see the truth in what we're doing as well. He also suggests that perhaps the three names also represents the three avos, and you know, maybe the idea being that the three avos that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's what the three names, Kel, Elokim, Hashem, represents the three avos, that they're saying that we're completely unified, just like, you know, we all come from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all the Shvatim descend from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so too we're still unified 100% in your you know, exactly the way you believe, that's the way we believe as well, and our intentions are not bad. The Radak and the Mitzvah Zavit both say, just that, you know, very interesting aside, so they mention, they say that the fact that it's mentioned twice is just for chizuk, just to strengthen the point that they're talking about God. Here, they say that the word Elohim here is really Elohim, and it's really a reference to the angels. And this is interesting. Both the Mitzudas Tavan and the Radak say this, that Kel Elohim means the God of the angels. That here Elohim is a reference to angels. As we know, Elohim can sometimes not refer to God proper, but could refer to any, you know, sort of holy being. So we know, we mentioned this in Parashas Mishpatim, the Torah uses the word Elohim to refer to Beis Din, right? That you come before Asher Yarshiun Elohim, that if Elohim makes them, decides that they're guilty, that's a reference to Beis Din. So sometimes Beis Din can even be referred to as Elohim, and so too in this case, he says the Malachim are called Elohim. Kel Elohim means the God of the Malachim, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? That He's the one who sends His Malachim, His servants to do things, His Shlichim, so that's what they're doing. Okay. And the Malbim says here that they're taking a Shavua, right? That they feel so strongly about this. We're taking a Shavua, we're swearing to you that our intentions are not bad. We're swearing to you. Let's see Pasuk Kaf Gimel. Livnos lanu mizbeach lashuv me'acharei Hashem. We're swearing to you that the goal in the building of this mizbeach was not to veer from to stray away from Hashem. And also v'im lahalos alav, olo mincha. And it also wasn't to bring karbanos, not to bring a karban ola, not to bring a karban mincha. V'im lahalos alav zivchei shlamim, right? And not to bring a even a karban shlamim. It just mentions the three different types of karbanos. That's not our intention. Hashem hu yivakesh. Right? What's Hashem hu yivakesh? Rashi says that Hashem should punish us if our intentions were improper. Right? They're saying that our intentions were fine, our intentions were good, our intentions were proper. Hashem should punish us if that's not the case. Now again, it's interesting. You know, they're defending themselves. They haven't said what their intentions were yet.
That's the thing, exactly. The first thing I would say is, no, we're building it for this reason.
Just say why. Yeah. Right? They keep, you know, they're harping on the point of our intentions were good and we're not going against Hashem, it's not for Avodah Zarah. So the first thing they're doing is they're combating the two reasons that that the nine and a half Shvatim, you know, complained about, you know, the two things that they suspected them. But we'll see. They'll get to their reason also.
It's a little easier to combat with the main reason.
Yeah, just say it, right? Just say it. Pasuk Chav Dalet. V'im lo mida'aga midavar asinu es zos leimor. And they say that the reason, now here they get to the reason why we did this. It's fascinating. The reason why we did this, they said, is because of a fear, of an anxiety, a da'aga, a worry. What were they worried about? Because what's going to happen is machar, down the line, tomorrow, literally. But it doesn't mean literally tomorrow. It means down the line, in the future. Yomru b'neichem levaneinu. We're afraid that your kids are going to tell our kids, leimor, ma lachem v'lashem elokei Yisrael. What do you guys have with God? What connection do you have with the Ribbono Shel Olam? What connection do you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we're afraid, and Rashi explains this pasuk. Say the 2.5 shvatim. We're afraid that down the line, you know, those in Eretz Yisrael are going to look out over the Yarden, and they're going to see the 2.5 tribes, and they're going to say, "Oh, Reuven, Gad, and Menashe, they have nothing to do with us. They have nothing to do with God, right? Look, after all, we settled in Eretz Yisrael. Where did they settle? Eretz Yarden. They crossed the river. They're done. Right? They left. They left Hashem. They left a God." They left the Ribbono Shel Olam. So because of that, we had to build this mizbeach. Now, how does that help? And if you look at Pasuk Chaf Hey, also the Malbim explains Pasuk Chaf Hey, Ugvul Nasan Hashem Beinenu Uveinechem. They said there's a physical border between us. There's a boundary, right, between us and between you. Bnei Reuven Uvnei Gad Es Hayarden, the Yarden. The physical river, the barrier, you know, creates a barrier between us. Ein lachem chelek b'Hashem. So we're worried that maybe the kids are going to say, your kids are going to tell our kids, you guys have no chelek, you have no connection to Hashem. V'yishbisu b'neichem es b'neinu levilti yiroes Hashem. And your sons will stop our sons from worshiping Hashem, from serving Hashem. And they're going to say, you know what, you're not welcome here. You know, you left. Your ancestors left, you know, your grandfather left, they went to Eretz Yarden. That's it. We're not interested in welcoming you back into our land. So some of the Mefarshim, the Malbim and the Ralbag explain that what they were worried about is that maybe right now, what's right now a physical distance and a physical barrier, so will be interpreted, misinterpreted later in subsequent generations as a spiritual barrier, as some sort of a spiritual distance. Because right now they know, why did we settle in Eretz Yarden? Because we have a lot of cattle, we have a lot of sheep, there's good grazing land, that's why we did this. We didn't do this for spiritual reasons. But it's not that we left, you know, Eretz Yisrael because we feel distance from Hashem, we want to be disconnected from Hashem, that's Chas V'Shalom, that's not why we left. We left because we need Parnassa, our animals, you know, we need grazing land, that's why we left. But that's good for this generation. This generation, you understand that. You understand why we left. But now, fast forward to the next generation, or the generation after that, right? One or two generations down the line, they're not going to remember exactly why we left. All they're going to see is they're going to look out and they're going to see 9.5 shvatim in Eretz Yisrael and 2.5 shvatim in Chutz La'aretz. Eivra Yarden. Why'd they go? They must not like Hashem. They must feel disconnected from Hashem. They must want to have nothing to do with Hashem. And if that's the case, then you're not welcome back here. Don't come and worship in Mishkan Shiloh. Right? Don't come and worship in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not interested in your participation. If you're not interested in living with us, you know, and again, they're going to misinterpret it and they're going to think that it's something spiritual. Right? It's something spiritual. And says the Malbim, it's not just the barrier, it's not just the distance, but it's also that, keep in mind, in Eretz Yisrael, there are more mitzvos to do. You have trumos and maestros. You have all sorts of mitzvos that apply. Mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz. All sorts of mitzvos that depend on the land of Israel. And in the land of Israel, they're doing those mitzvos. And in Chutz La'aretz, they're not. So they might think, why did we leave? We left to get away from these mitzvos. Who wants to be bothered with trumos and maestros and all these complicated shemitah? You know, who wants to be bothered by these things? So maybe that's why they left, to get away from the mitzvos, to get away from the burdens, so to speak, quote unquote, of the mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael, to get away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why they left. But you see, down the line, it's going to be misinterpreted. Down the line, things get lost in translation. That's what we're worried about. Right? You see the importance. Sometimes you have this, that you have movements. You know, even in Klal Yisrael, you have different movements. And when you think back to how these things started, right, and the people that began these movements, whether it's political parties, whether it's movements within Klal, or whatever the different movements are, very often you go down one or two generations from when they began, and nobody really remembers what the original platform was. You know, what was the original platform of this party or this movement? You know, what was the idea? Who knows? You know, right now it morphed into something different. So that's what they're worried. They're looking, down the line, and they're concerned about how this is going to be interpreted.
So if it's a sign for generations to come,
yeah.
Why even say if that's what they were so saying?
Good. Okay, good. So let's see. Pasuk Chav Vav. Vanomer nasa na lanu livnosis hamizbeach lo laola velo lazavach. So what did they say? So they said, let's make a Mizbeach. Let's make a Mizbeach. Right? But, carefully, read carefully. Lo la'ola v'lo la'zavach. Right? This Mizbeach is not going to be for Karbonos. That's not the purpose of this Mizbeach. It's not going to be for Karbonos. Okay? So what is this Mizbeach? This Mizbeach is a sign. Ki eidhu, look at Pasuk Chav Zayin. Ki eidhu beinenu uveinechem. This Mizbeach is just, it's a testimony. Like aid, like a witness, right? This Mizbeach is testimony, is a witness, is a sign between us and between you, uvein doroseinu acharenu, and between our generations to come, right? The next generation of the 2.5 tribes and the 9.5 tribes. What's the sign? La'avod es avodas Hashem lefanav be'oloseinu uvizvachenu uvishlamenu. To remind everyone that our goal when we left, our goal was not to distance ourselves from Hashem. We built a Mizbeach, a replica Mizbeach. It's a replica Mizbeach. It's not for Karbanos. It's Lemare, right? As it said in Pasuk Yud. It's a Mizbeach Godol Lemare. What does that mean? That means it's a replica, right? Why do you build a replica of something? Because you want to keep it in your mind. You want to have the image in front of you. You want to keep it in close to your heart. That's why you build a replica. So they said, we were building a replica Mizbeach. We wanted to remember the Mizbeach and Shiloh. We wanted to remind our kids and our grandkids that this is what it's really about. Avodas Hashem, serving God, back in Shiloh. Right? Back in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, we're here for Parnassah. When you want to connect, go visit the Beis HaMikdash. Go visit the Mizbeach. Go see the real thing. Right? Don't just look at the replica. The replica is to remind you of what the real thing is all about. V'lo yomru b'neichem machar levaneinu ein lachem chelek b'Hashem. And therefore, your kids are not going to tell our kids later down the line, in the next generation or the future generations, that you guys have no connection to Hashem. Because we will still have a connection to Hashem. So says the Malbim, they were correcting the problem. We see a problem down the line. And this is, we're going to correct the problem. Right? We're going to correct the problem. We build a Mizbeach to remind us that we're not leaving the spiritual. We're taking the spiritual with us. We're not leaving the Ribbono Shalom. We're taking the Ribbono Shalom with us. Not that we're going to serve at this with this Mizbeach. This is just a reminder. It's a sign. It's a replica. Just to keep in mind that what our focus is and what we're doing.
So the There's no halacha against building bummers, correct? It's only if you
put use them. Right.
So you can build them.
Right. So that
everybody says you can't build bummers.
Right. It's, the building is not the issue. The issue is the usage of the bummer. So, but this was an unheard of thing. You know, like Bnei Yisrael sees them building a bummer. Well, what are they building a mizbeach for? Whoever built a mizbeach and didn't use it before, right? So you normally
build bummers when they came into Eretz Yisrael.
Right, but there was no Isser yet. There was no Isser yet until Shiloh, the Mefarshim say. Right? Once the Mishkan was established in Shiloh, then the Bamos became Aser. Yeah. The Metzudas David says something, which I think what he's getting at is that also, that think about this for a minute. If they really wanted to bring Karbanos, and this is part of their argument also, think about what did they do. We built a Mizbeach that looks like the Mizbeach in Shiloh. That's what we built. If we were going to bring Karbanos, why would we build a Mizbeach that looks exactly the same? Right? If we were bringing, number one, if we were worshipping Avodah Zarah, right? Number two, even if we weren't worshipping Avodah Zarah, if we were just bringing Karbanos outside of the Mishkan, why would we build an exact same replica Mizbeach as the one that's in Shiloh? Build our own Mizbeach. Right? You're going to copy the one that's in Shiloh? Build your own Mizbeach if you're doing your own thing. Right? You don't copy something exactly the way that someone else did it. If you're doing your own thing. So if this was done from a spirit of rebellion, right, say the Bnei Reuven and Gad and Menashe, then we wouldn't have built a replica Mizbeach. We would have built our own Mizbeach. We would have built a different Mizbeach. The fact that it looked like the Mizbeach in Shiloh, the fact that it was like almost an exact replica of the Mizbeach in Shiloh, they're saying this should have tipped you guys off that we're just trying to remind ourselves about Shiloh and about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the whole reason for this. Right, the fact that it looks exactly the same. Oh, okay. And the Malbim says also that this Mizbeach was really pasul. This is really a pasul Mizbeach. Right? And he's not clear if it's pasul because the way they constructed it wasn't proper, or maybe just the fact that it wasn't in Shiloh, that it wasn't in the Mishkan made it pasul. But the idea is that this one is pasul, but the real one's in Shiloh. The real one is there. That's the purpose here. Okay, pasuk chav ches. Vanomer v'haya ki yomru eilenu ve'eldo roseinu machar v'amarnu re'ues tavnis mizbach Hashem. So the point is that later, right, again, the machar, the focus is on the future, the focus is on machar, the focus is on down the line, that when they tell us, when they look at us and our generations later, and they say, re'ues tavnis mizbach Hashem asher osu avoseinu, look at the replica mizbeach that our fathers made, Lo la ola velo la zevach, and it wasn't done for karbanos. Ki edu beneinu uveneichem. It's an aid. It's an idea. It's a reminder of the true mizbeach. Pasuk chavtes, chalila lanu mimenu limrod baHashem. They say chas v'shalom that we would be rebelling against Hashem. Veloshuv hayov me'achare Hashem, and to stray away from the path of God. Livnos mizbeach la ola l'mincha l'zevach. Right, to build an actual mizbeach for karbanos outside, chas v'shalom, milvad mizbeach Hashem Elokeinu asher lifnei mishkano. But you can't build. We wouldn't even think to build an additional mizbeach, to build this other mizbeach. Pasuk lamed. So here's how everybody digests this. Okay, so this was the response of Pinchas. Oh, I'm sorry, of Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. Vayishma Pinchas haKohen uNesiyei haEda v'Roshei Alfei Yisrael. So here we have Pinchas and the ten Nesiim, right, who came. And they were the ones who challenged the 2.5 Shvatim. And now they hear the response. They hear what they say. Asher Yitov, the traveled, that came with Pinchas. Es advarim asher dibru b'nei Reuven, b'nei Gad, b'nei Menashe, vayitav be'enehem. Vayitav be'enehem. It was good.
Why does it change the Lashon here from the beginning when they talk to
Reuven? So they only...
Right.
So apparently they were talking to Pinchas. Right. So yeah, it sounds like their comments were directed at the Nesiim, but Pinchas was there. I mean, it was all one delegation. So Pinchas heard what was being said. Now keep in mind, he's really the leader of this delegation, Pinchas. So it's true that they weren't directing their comments to him because they were focusing on the Bnei Yisrael, the 9.5 versus the 12 versus the 2.5 relationship. That's what they were focusing on. But at the end of the day, Pinchas got the message. Right, in the end of the day, Pinchas recognized that they're really not just talking to the Nesiim, they're talking to me as well. They're explaining to me as well, you know, what's going on here.
When he just makes him take it down?
I'm sorry?
When he makes him just take it down?
So he doesn't. We'll see. He doesn't do that.
No problem.
Yeah, because once they recognized that their intentions were fine.
Right.
And they recognized why they were doing this. They said, so Pinchas, it sounds like, said, you know what? It's not such a crazy idea. Leave it up. Let it be a replica. Let it be a replica. So he was very happy that that this was the case. Right, by Yitav Be'enehem, it was good in their eyes. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, by Yomer Pinchas ben Elazar, HaKohen El B'nei Reuven, El B'nei Gad, El B'nei Menashe, Hayom Yodanu Ki Besochenu Hashem. Today we know that God is among us, Asher Lo Ma'altem BaHashem, because you did not rebel against Hashem. Hamal Hazeh, this what we thought was a rebellion. Oz Hitzaltem Es B'nei Yisrael Miyad Hashem. Literally what this sounds like, and we'll see that there's another interpretation for this as well, but it sounds like that you saved B'nai Yisrael from Hashem, meaning that had this been something bad, then B'nai Yisrael could have been afflicted with some sort of a plague or some sort of a, you know, Hashem could have punished B'nai Yisrael in some way. So you saved, so to speak, you saved Klal Yisrael by not doing something wrong. Right? You could have done something wrong here, and the fact that it was not wrong, the fact that your intentions were good, so that, so to speak, you saved B'nai Yisrael. Mitzudas David says here that Pinchas was really very thankful for two things. So he says, number one, he was thankful, Pinchas was happy. He said, you know what, we made the right decision by coming out here and not going straight to war. Right? Think about it. They could have just brought the army right away and just came up and attacked the 2.5 tribes. You guys are rebelling against God, just attack them and that's it. Just finish off the job. Says Pinchas, we didn't do that. We decided to send a delegation first. You know, and I came with the Tennessee, and we decided to have a conversation, to talk. You know, we're gonna tell you why we object to this. We want to hear what you have to say. And Pinchas says, I'm happy that we did this, number one. Okay? And number two, I'm also happy that we avoided some sort of a plague. Oz Hitzaltem. That's the second thing in the Pasuk. Achan, there was a plague, right? I'm happy that down the line, we averted some sort of a plague, right? Because really, this, what's going to happen is that this Mizbeach, according to what you're saying, is going to keep your kids in line. It's going to keep the 2.5 Shvatim connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connected to the Mishkan and Shiloh for generations. And this is a fascinating thing. You know, the first point I find so meaningful, because what does Pinchas say? Pinchas says, you know, we could have just reacted. You know, we could, B'nai Yisrael could have just reacted. We, you know, we see something wrong, we're just going to knock you over the head. You know, we're going to bring the army and just knock you over the head. We didn't do that. We had a conversation. You know, it's such an important lesson for life, which Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, who was the Oyev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom, that the path to Shalom is not just to react, right? When we see something, and sometimes, you know, we see something that ruffles our feathers a little bit, it pushes our buttons, it gets us a little bit upset. So we have two options. We can either react, you know, lash out, and whatever the case might be, yell, scream, punch, whatever it might be, we can lash out, or we can talk. We can have a conversation. Now, sometimes the conversation doesn't work. You know, sometimes it's not productive. But many times, the conversation can be productive. And a lot of times, when we make a certain judgment about something or someone, and we want to react to that, and all of a sudden we have a conversation and we see that things are totally different than the way we originally saw them. You know, we thought of something in one way, and all of a sudden we realized that it was something totally different. They had a different intention. You know, they didn't mean what they said. They didn't mean what they did. It was, we have to see the broader context. We have to see the bigger picture. We have to see where they were coming from. And Pinchas is teaching us an important lesson based on what the Mitzudas David is saying here. The Pinchas says, oh, Baruch Hashem, that we didn't just react. Baruch Hashem, we didn't just lash out in anger, even though we were angry at what was going on. But we came, we had a conversation, we challenged you because we thought we saw something wrong, and you defended yourself and you did a good job, says Pinchas. You did a good job. You defended yourself in a good way, and we see that you're legitimate. We see that your intentions were good, were kosher, and I'm very happy about that. You know, the lesson for all of us to make sure that our responses are measured and that we have conversation before reaction. And how important that is when it comes to shalom, when it comes to making peace. The Malbim also says here, interestingly, I'm not sure how the Malbim knows this. He doesn't say exactly where he sees this in the Pasuk. But the Malbim says that Pinchas himself never actually suspected them. The masses suspected the 2.5 tribes of doing something wrong. But Pinchas himself had a hunch that there must be a good reason for what they're doing here. You know, like you asked before, why were they so quick to judge? According to the Malbim, the masses of people are quick to judge. The leaders weren't so quick to judge, right? Pinchas ben Elazar, he wasn't so quick to judge. He didn't just jump to conclusions. You know, he thought that there's got to be something going on here behind the scenes, and I want to go find out what it is. And Pinchas was happy that he did that. He said, you know, I was right the whole time. I knew that something was going on. I knew that you had some sort of plan. You know, you had a reason for doing what you were doing. And I never really doubted you, but we had to figure out what it was. You know, we had to have this conversation. We had to clarify exactly what it was.
According to the Malbim, yeah. Then, mm-hmm. The reason that it says it took to the Rosh Hashvatim might be because Pinchas really was an accusatory.
Aha, uh-huh, interesting, interesting. Very nice. I like that. I like that. So maybe when they came...
That's how the Malbim actually might have learned this.
Very nice. I like that. So, right, so according to what everyone is saying, maybe that they saw that the ones who were really angry were the Nesiim, because they represented the masses, and the masses were angry. They looked at Pinchas, and they saw Pinchas was kind of calm. You know, he wasn't all that excited. He wanted answers. He wanted to figure out what was going on here, but he wasn't all agitated. He figured that there must be some good reason for this. So they said, you know what, let's calm down first the Nesiim, who are all angry based on the masses. That's a nice pshat. Right? Maybe let's calm them down first, and then we can get to, and then Pinchas will understand. Maybe he understood that there must be some sort of a good reason for this. Yeah, Yeshua also, you know, maybe. Very nice, very nice. So the Malbim also points out that if you look at the pasuk, it says Hayom Yodanu Ki Besochenu Hashem. So here maybe this is where the Malbim gets it from, because the Malbim says that the Pinchas says we see that Hashem is still with us. Besochenu Hashem means that we see in our daily lives still today we see Hashem is still with us. If 2.5 tribes of Bnei Yisrael are straying from God, and either building a mizbeach for Avodah Zarah, or violating the Torah and building a bama outside and bringing karbanos, do you think Hashem would still be with us in the way that He has been? Do you think Hashem's hashkach, Hashem's providence, would still be with us in the same way? It wouldn't be like that. Again, it takes a leader, it takes a Jewish leader, you know, a Talmud Chacham and the Gadol Hador, to be sensitive to this and to recognize it. But Pinchas says, I feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us. You look out, you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us. If you guys were really doing something wrong, Hashem would have you know, turned His back a little bit on us, a little hester upon Him. You know, we wouldn't feel His hashgacha, we wouldn't feel His providence in the same strong way that we feel it today. But the fact that, ki besochenu Hashem, the fact that Hashem is still among us, that we still feel Hashem, it must be that you guys really have a good reason for what you're doing. Now, halavai, we could feel that. But that's what Pinchas felt. He said, I still feel Hashem with us. I still feel the hashgacha. I still feel Hashem's direct providence with us. It can't be that 2.5 shvatim are doing something so wrong, you wouldn't feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way. You wouldn't feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way. You know, you have the spiritual sensitivity of Pinchas here. But that's what he understands. Lamed Beis. Vayashav Pinchas ben Elazar HaKohen v'Hanasi me'ez b'nei Reuven u'me'ez b'nei Gad me'eretz Hagila el eretz Kenan el b'nei Yisrael vayashivu osam davar. So they turn around and they go back to Eretz Kanan. They go back to the other 9.5 Shvatim. And they go to tell them what happened. And they passed on the message. Right? They told the people, everybody calm down. Right? Everybody calm down. They're not doing Avodah Zarah. They're not even bringing Karbanos. There's no bad intentions here. They're not splintering off from Bnei Yisrael. There's nothing bad here. They're just doing it to make sure that their descendants and their future generations stay with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the sole purpose of this. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayitav Hadover Be'enei Bnei Yisrael. Oh, the Jewish people says, Baruch Hashem. Right, Baruch Hashem. They were so happy that was the case. Vayivarchu Elokim Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael, bless Hashem. They bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Velo amru la'alos aleihem latzav l'shachei ses ha'aretz. And they say, Baruch Hashem, that we didn't go up and destroy their land. Baruch Hashem, we didn't take the army up and just go up and destroy their land. Asher b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad yoshvim ba. It's interesting. It says, you know, some of the Mefarshim pick up on the wording that the Pasuk says, l'shacheis es ha'aretz, to destroy the land. Right? So what are we talking about to destroy the land here? So some of the Mefarshim say, the Al-Sheikh explains this way, that the B'nai Yisrael, this was actually the strategy of B'nai Yisrael. Why? Because they knew that why did Bnei Gadim, why did Reuven, Gad, and Menashe go Eiver HaYardeh? Because of the land. Because of the grazing land. So they said, you know what? If we see that them going there is causing problems, how are we going to get them back? We're going to destroy the land. And if we burn the land and we destroy the land, there's no more grazing land, and there's no reason for them to be there. They're going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and then they'll you know, reorient themselves, you know, in within our society and do things in the proper way. So this was their strategy to begin with, that they were going to go and physically destroy the land, burn the land, so that the people wouldn't have any grazing land, and they would be forced to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And he says also, that's why it doesn't say Menashe. In these two psukim, if you look at Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, it doesn't say Menashe. It only talks about Reuven and Gad. Why? Because Reuven and Gad were really the ones that went to graze. Menashe, they didn't go to graze. The half of Menashe, they went because they were very strong and they wanted to perhaps be you know, be like a source of defense to Bnei Yisrael by living at the border. But the Mepharshim say Menashe, the half of the tribe of Menashe, had a little bit of a different intention in living in Eiver HaYardeh. And that's why here it specifically focuses on Reuven and Gad, because it's focusing on the land and the grazing. And that was the reason, and therefore, that was perhaps why we're going to do this. So they thank Hashem, Vayivarcha Elokim. They thank Hashem, number one, that they didn't go to war. And number two, also, they thank Hashem for believing this, for believing what they said. You know, listen, it could be that Reuven and Gad and Menashe would give their, would explain themselves, and the 9.5 tribes would say, yeah, you guys are making up a bunch of baloney, and we're going to kill you anyway. Right? But that's not what they said, thank God. Baruch Hashem. Okay. The Malbim also says, you see here, something so beautiful. The Malbim says, you see that they weren't coming out of hatred. Right? Because if they were coming out of hatred, they wouldn't say, thank God. They're happy. Right? Bnei Yisrael are happy that they don't have to go to war. Right? If you're coming out of hatred and something happens and you don't go to fight, you're not happy. You know, you're kind of disappointed. You know, you were looking for a fight. But says the Malbim, you see here, the 9.5 tribes, they weren't looking for a fight. They weren't looking to pick a fight with the 2.5, right? They loved them. They weren't coming out from a place of hatred. They were coming because they thought they did something wrong. So now that they see that was correct, their perception was wrong, and they were not doing anything wrong. They were doing something just fine, and they actually had good intentions. Gevaldik, right? Baruch Hashem, we're back to shalom. We're back to peace. Vayikru b'nei God u'b'nei God la'mizbeach ki eidhu b'noseinu ki Hashem ha'elokim. And they ended up calling this mizbeach aid. They called it the witness. That this mizbeach was the witness. This mizbeach was going to be the sign for all future generations that Hashem is the God. And that's essentially what this sign was. So you see, you know, in this parak, just a fascinating, you know, sometimes, you know, when you have a little bit of distance and you have people operating on different wavelengths, you can have a lot of, you know, the game of telephone almost. And people get, you know, people have perceptions are wrong and misinterpret things. And it could lead, as we see, almost a civil war. You know, they had the army ready to go. They were almost led to civil war. And Baruch Hashem was averted as they described their intentions. Their intentions were still a shame shemai. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Next week we'll pick up with Perek Chav Gimel.
Thank you.